I meet Anne Gillings and her deaf son, Daniel, along with Labrador Varley, his clever hearing dog. After talking to Anne, my next questions are for Daniel, who communicates his replies in sign language to Anne, and she then relays his words back to me. And of course, ready to help is hearing dog Varley. Oh, I've got a present.
What is
it? A koala bear.
Somebody's been to Australia?
No, this is one of the toys he arrived with. It's a bit of a favourite, so he likes his cuddlies.
Can I just ask you how you got your hearing dogs in the background to that?
Right, we've had Varley, Daniel's hearing dog, for just over 6 years now. When Daniel was probably about 7 years old, we sort of heard about hearing dogs and how that they actually had some dogs that worked specifically with children and their families. So at that point, we were having some issues with Daniel with sleeping and feeling safe at night. And so that looked like the perfect solution. So we looked on the website and got in contact with hearing dogs. And then we went through the sort of like the matching process with them, so which involved them finding out very much about what our sort of lifestyle was, what sort of character Daniel had, visiting the centre and meeting dogs, so they could see how he interacted with dogs, so that the matching, they sort of found a match that really sort of met his sort of needs and his character. And so while we were on that sort of matching journey, we obviously then were just waiting then for a dog in training that then would sort of be a very good match. We always said if hearing dogs did dating, there'd be quite a lot of weddings because they seem to get it very right. And so we then had a sort of a meet and greet with Varley, and he stayed overnight with just to see if we felt they were sort of... the right sort of match for one another. And then from there on we then had a placement time, and so Varley arrived with us literally about 2 days before Daniel's 10th birthday, so he was like the best present ever, and he's been with us for just over 6 years since, and really has changed Daniel's life and had a huge impact on our family as well. He's like my fourth child, really.
He's very chilled, isn't he?
I mean, he's very good character match for Daniel. They're both very, very sort of calm, chilled out characters, but he's got a real sort of playful side as well. So as soon as I get a ball out, he'll be like a different dog. But he is a very, well, all the hearing dogs, they are very much sort of trained for their temperament. So they're meant to be very sort of calm, well socialised, and sort of steady dogs. And so he's very, because they've got to work and go into public places and a lot of situations and behave well because they're registered hearing assistance dogs. And so there's expectations that they behave well in public places. And so they're very much, they're well socialised, well trained. And yeah, he's lovely. The hearing dogs, they're trained before they're matched with their partner. So all the dogs are trained to do the sound work. So they're trained to work and alert their partner to the sounds that they need to in the home. So it could be, I mean, if you think if you're deaf yourself, what sounds you would miss. So it might be, you know, the doorbell, smoke alarm, cooking timers. It could be like the telephone, or the text, or a text alert. So there's lots of different sounds that in the home that a deaf person would, you know, would miss without the dogs. So the dogs are trained to alert their partner as part of their training. So by the time Varley arrived, he already knew how to alert Daniel to like the alarm clock in the morning, to the cooking timer, and to the smoke alarm. And they all work in, they sort of alert their partner in different ways. So the smaller dogs will maybe just use their paws to alert their owner. The bigger dogs like Varley, because you see he's quite a big Labrador, he's trained to give Daniel a nudge with his nose, and then Daniel will then sort of ask him, what is it? And Varley will then lead them to whatever sound he's alerting to, with the exception of the smoke alarm, because that's a danger sound, and obviously we don't want to be leading a person into danger. So if it's a smoke alarm or a fire alarm where it's a danger sound, the dogs are then trained to lay down so that they the person knows that it's there's a danger in the house and there's something they need to be aware of, and the alarm has gone off like that.
Yeah, so you both can talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, he's trained, because Daniel is completely deaf, so if he's in a different room, I can't call him. I would have to physically have to walk in and tap him on the shoulder. So one of the things that Varley is trained to do is what we call the call. So if Daniel's in a different room, I can send Varley, I'll say, oh, go call Daniel, and he will go and nudge him. And then when Daniel asks, you know, what is it or where is it, he will then bring him back to me. And Daniel is also trained to get Varley to do that for me, so he can get me from a different room as well. So
he's clever, isn't
so
he?
he's very clever, and it saved my legs no end.
What are the sort of most useful things do you think the dog is?
I mean, I think that, yeah, the dogs have, it's far more than just the sound work that they do. I think anybody with any level of hearing loss will bear sort of testimony to the fact that actually it's quite isolating to not be able to take part in conversations or miss chunks of conversations. And some for some people, particularly people who've perhaps lost their hearing later on in life, it's quite a blow to the confidence as well when you're suddenly struggling in situations, or you feel if you're in a shop and an alarm went off and you wouldn't know about it. And for most recipients, there's been a point in their life where something has happened which they've suddenly realised, I'm really struggling with my deafness, or I'm not able to cope with this, and that's the sort of trigger point for them applying for a hearing dog. So there are many reasons that people apply for a dog, but the benefits, obviously, with the sound work, which I've explained, important to alerting sounds and alerting to important sounds in the home. But it's also the social aspect of having a dog. If you go out every day, you know, you walk your dog, you meet other dog owners, people ask you about your dog when you're out. When the dog's working and in uniform, often people are really interested. Oh, you know, what does a hearing dog do? And so it opens up those conversations. And it's also, you know, deafness is described as an invisible disability. Daniel doesn't wear any sort of hearing aids or cochlear implants because they're of no benefit to him. So he doesn't look any different to any other teenager. You know, most people, if you know somebody is deaf or have a hearing loss, you'll make some sort of adjustments, or you'll try and gesture and you'll make an effort, extra effort to communicate. But, you know, if he walks into a shop, Varley is a real visual, in his uniform, is a visual cue that Daniel is deaf. And so hopefully then people are a lot more accommodating and will sort of make an extra effort to communicate better with him. So it's about the, you know, the security and the sound work and knowing you're going to be alerted to sounds, but it's much more than that. It's the whole social thing. So it's about sort of reducing isolation and leaving sort of that loneliness behind and connecting with society again. And just the whole confidence thing as well. I mean, I've seen Daniel just become a very confident young man. He's been to Parliament, he's met royalty, and he's done all these things with Varley by his side, and it's, you know, it's wonderful to see how confident he's become.
What's the uniform?
Much like guide dogs, hearing dogs are registered assistance dogs, so they're registered with Assistance Dog UK. So you're recognised like a guide dog normally by their heart, their special harness. Well, hearing dogs have their own uniform, which is a burgundy coloured jacket, and they also have a lead slip with the hearing dog's logo on it, and that's on a sort of burgundy lead slip as well. And so that and all the recipients or the partners of a hearing dog will have an ID card as like proof that they're registered with Assistance Dog UK, so that if they are challenged about accessing public places, they've got that evidence that they are with a registered assistance dog. And like guide dogs, under the Equality Act, they have that right of access to go into public places with their partner. I think some people with assistance with hearing dogs have been open to challenge because the expectation of an assistance dog is a Labrador, because that's what most assistance dogs are. But hearing dogs also use poodles, cocker spaniels and cockapoos because they work very well as hearing dogs as well. And for some people, having a smaller dog sort of suits them better. So, and I think with the uniform is probably a lot smaller and not quite so visible on a smaller dog. So having that card as proof that you do have the right of access is quite helpful.
Mm-hmm. What do you think was the biggest improvement that you found?
I think the thing that triggered us as a family to apply for a hearing dog was Daniel's sleep issues. Mm-hmm. And this seems to be quite a common story among the children's partnerships. Daniel, he got to about sort of 7 years old, and normally when children go up to bed, even though they're upstairs in bed and the light may be out, they will hear sort of like the sounds of people moving around downstairs, TV in the background. They've got that sort of reassurance of that background noise in the house. But Daniel has no hearing at all, and a lot of children even who use hearing aids, obviously they take those off at night when they go to bed. So there's that sense of not having that reassurance of knowing that people are around. And so for Daniel, he got very unsettled at night, and it used to take him hours to get off to sleep because he'd be worried that people weren't around, and he'd keep coming downstairs to check we were still there, or we were having to go up regularly to reassure him. And because he's watching interpreters all day at school, the next day he'd be tired, going into school tired. And so by the time he got back from school, he was just done in. He was so tired, and he wasn't, you know, have the energy to sort of go out and play and do all the things that a normal 7 year old was doing. So sleep was the real issue that prompted us to apply for a hearing dog. And literally within days of Vali arriving, Daniel's sleep improved. You know, it was just unbelievable, really. He went from being a boy who was up and down the stairs and couldn't settle to just going to bed, saying goodnight. And we were able to turn the light out for the first time in years because he felt that security of knowing that Vali was in the bedroom with him. Vali would alert him if there was anything wrong. And it's just that safety of having Vali by his side at night. It made a huge difference. So that was the biggest impact. But a lot of it is just seeing Daniel's confidence grow, and he's got, you know, they're best friends, and it's just sort of when he comes back from school, if he's a bit stressed, or they go out in the garden, have a play with the ball, or they cuddle up and watch the TV together, and just seeing that companionship has made such a huge difference.
So is he on the bed?
Not on the bed. No. He's got a bed in Daniel's bedroom. So he sleeps in the same room. And in the morning when Daniel's alarm clock goes off, Vali's first job of the day is to wake Daniel up with the alarm clock. You cannot ignore a Labrador in the morning, especially when he knows after he's woken Daniel up is when he's going to get his breakfast. So when the alarm clock goes off, he'll put his paws on the bed to let Daniel know that the alarm clock has gone off. So and Labradors are quite persistent. If once or twice the occasion where Daniel sort of switched the alarm off and rolled over and gone back to sleep again because Barley's waiting for his breakfast, he will not let him lay in. So he's pretty good at doing that in the morning.
Fine, just call Daniel. Call Daniel. Goodbye.
Really, the best thing about having a hearing dog is that he's given me my confidence, and he's given me friendship and companionship. You know, he's been with me 6.5 years, and when I first met him, you know, he really changed my life so quickly. He's become my best friend. You know, it's just really, he's just been an important part of my life.
And I've said about school, Yeah, do your friends know all about him and love him like you do?
Lots of people and all my teachers, they know about him because I'm talking about him at school. They've seen pictures and they all love him.
So what happens at school then? How do you manage at school?
When I'm at school, in sort of class time, and I can't hear anything. I have sort of two interpreters helping me at school. I have two teachers, the deaf at school as well, supporting me through my school life. Barley doesn't come with me to school because sort of hearing dogs, they sort of say that children have to be over 16 to be responsible enough to look after for the dog during the day at school. I'm starting sixth form soon, so I'm really not sure about whether I'll take him in with me, because it just really depends on sort of how intensive my lessons are and whether it's going to be a distraction having Varley with me.
So, just going back, you went to see him together?
At the start of when I applied for a hearing dog, we went to the Grange, which is their sort of hearing dog's their main headquarters, and we met sort of a couple of other dogs. Not him at first, but it's just really just to see how confident I was with other dogs. I met a Labrador and a Cocker Spaniel, just to see how I interacted with them. And I felt much calmer with the Labrador. And when I left, they were sort of like looking for a match. Finally, I was matched with Varley, and he came here to the house. He didn't really like being in the kennels and things, so he'd lived with a foster family. And so a hearing dog trainer came here with him. We spent a day with him and just to see how he got on and whether we liked him. And I decided quite quickly that he was the right match for me. And from, you know, it just went on from there, really.
Do you know anybody else who's got one?
I know lots of people with hearing dogs who live in the area. You know, there's a few from parts of Suffolk. We have like community days, we have like dog walks and things. So we're, you know, I'm friends with lots of other recipients in the area. It's like a big family, really. It's almost like when you meet another person who's partnered with a hearing dog, there's that sort of instant connection. And we're always sort of like, oh, what's your hearing? You know, and you're very excited about talking about your hearing dog. And like they seem to know that the other dog is from that same family, because they all seem to get on really well together. And what we do, lots of like local fundraising events and things for the charity
as a group.
And so we do sort of meet other partnerships in the area when we're sort of volunteering at fundraising events. So that's always really good, because there's always those connections with, you know, a lot of the local partnerships, we're all in touch with each other as well. I mean, the charity obviously gets no central government funding, so the actual cost of training and supporting the dogs throughout their lifetime is all done through like donations, fundraising, and wills. So most recipients do like to sort of get involved and help. Because for us, we're just so grateful, and we know like the impact a dog has made on us. We want other people to have the same opportunity. So some of the big events that they do, like what we call the Great British Dog Walk. So there's in this area, there's one at Blickling, and there's another one at Ickworth Park near Bury St Edmunds. Yeah. And so anybody with a dog can just join in, take their dog for a walk around these lovely country estates, and it raises funds and awareness of the charity as well. I mean, I've got a lady from my church, I have like a house group that meets here, and I didn't realise that she was really badly like dog phobic, absolutely terrified of dogs. But she sort of thought, well, if I'm going to meet any dog, Varley's probably going to be the calmest one. And actually she sort of her fear of dogs, she sort of overcome that to some extent, because now she's quite happy for, if she knows he's so calm and he'll never jump up anybody, and she's sort of quite comfortable with him, sort of laying there, very calm.
He's a very important dog, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a very important part of my life.
I was talking to Anne Gillings, her son Daniel, and Labrador Varley.